This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just about 5:08 and this is the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila, and it's time now for Popit Popit Parliament, where we go through the highlights from the Dewan Rakyat. So, Hang Tuah Jaya MP, Datuk Sri Shamsul Iskandar, kicked off his question today with a short pantun that sums up the current affairs in Melaka, so we thought we'd include it here for you to hear.
Terima kasih, Datuk Yang Bertua. UMNO lawan UMNO di Melaka. Rakyat dihukum dengan pilihan raya. Tolong jawab Menteri Bijaksana soalan nombor 4 daripada Hang Tuah Jaya. Terima kasih.
I do love when we get pantun in Parliament. So the aforementioned question was to do with COVID-19 vaccination rates, and Deputy Mufti Minister Dato' Ahmad Amzat Hashim reported that the rate for fully immunised adults is currently at 88.4%.
So Dato' Sri Shamsul also brought up the cases of breakthrough infections, with most of them being individuals who had been vaccinated with Sinovac. He wanted to know, therefore, if Sinovac is less effective, and if so, whether the government planned to guarantee booster shots for this group. Here is the Deputy Minister's response.
Setakat ini, semua jenis vaksin, sama ada Pfizer, Sinovac ataupun AstraZeneca, dan termasuk CanSino yang digunakan di bawah program PIK, didapati berkesan di dalam pertama mengurangkan jangkitan, yang kedua dari segi mengurangkan kemasukan ke hospital dan sebagainya. Walau bagaimanapun, benar adalah didapati berlaku penurunan setelah tempoh masa yang tertentu, maka kerana itu kerajaan telah pun menyebut tentang keperluan kepada booster dose khusus kepada kumpulan-kumpulan yang tertentu yang mempunyai risiko yang tinggi. Dan ini telah pun dibuat keputusan dan perincian sedang dikeluarkan oleh Kementerian Kesihatan Malaysia. Terima kasih.
That was Dato' Ahmad Amzat Hashim, Deputy Minister of Science, Innovation and Technology, reiterating that booster shots will be administered to high-risk groups, though he did not specify whether that would include those who received Sinovac vaccines.
So we did look this up. So in a study undertaken by the COVID-19 Immunisation Task Force, it was confirmed that most of the breakthrough infections that led to ICU admission and fatalities occurred among Sinovac vaccine recipients. The study tracked 14.5 million fully vaccinated individuals from April 1st to September 12th. Out of 953 ICU admissions, 799 were patients vaccinated with Sinovac. In comparison, 147 were Pfizer, 7 were AstraZeneca.
Going on to a question on the controversial RUU 355, which involves pushing through amendments that would strengthen the criminal powers of the Sharia Court, Pasir Mas MP Ahmad Fadli Shari wanted to know what its current status was, and the Minister of Religious Affairs, Idris Ahmad, reported that the technical committee had held several discussions between 2020 and 2021, and that the proposed amendments will be presented to state governments from the 12th to the 14th of October.
The Pasir Mas MP then asked how they're managing the negative perceptions around the RUU 355. Here's the question, followed by the briefest of answers, really.
Cuma persoalannya, Bapak Menteri, menjadi suatu persepsi di luar sana bahawa kedua-dua orang undang-undang ini akan memberikan suatu ataupun tidak akan memberikan keadilan, terutamanya kepada golongan non-Muslim. Dan pelbagai tulisan di luar sana, ada yang saya baca, RUU 355, A Bill to Talibanize Malaysia, untuk menjadikan Malaysia negara Taliban dan sebagainya. Jadi setakat manakah komen yang Berhormat Menteri berkenaan dengan persepsi bahawa kedua-dua undang-undang ini tidak akan memberikan keadilan? Terima kasih.
Sila Menteri jawab.
Okay, terima kasih kepada Timbalan Dipertua, terima kasih kepada Pasir Mas. Kedua-dua orang undang-undang ini tidak pun melibatkan hal berkenaan dengan orang bukan Islam. Dia hanyalah melibatkan untuk orang Islam sahaja. Terima kasih.
Well, in a follow-up question, Bukit Bintang MP Fong Kui Lun raised concerns over the laws potentially infringing the right to religious freedom as provided by the federal constitution. The minister maintained that the laws are not meant to restrict the religious freedoms of non-Muslims.
Sebenarnya, ialah rang undang-undang ini ialah merupakan sekatan pengembangan doktrin atau kepercayaan agama dalam kalangan orang Islam sahaja. Rang undang-undang ini bukan bertujuan untuk menyekat kebebasan beragama dari kalangan orang-orang bukan Islam. Orang-orang bukan Islam bebas untuk nak menyebarkan agama mereka dari kalangan mereka, tidak dari kalangan orang-orang Islam. Terima kasih.
That was Idris Harun, Minister of Religious Affairs. Now, on to updates on automatic voter registration. Deputy Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Datuk Mas Ermiyati Samsudin, confirmed that AVR will kick into effect by the 31st of December this year, in which everyone will be automatically registered, including people who are overseas.
The Deputy Minister was also asked about whether postal voting would be permitted for East Malaysians residing or working in Peninsular Malaysia. According to her, it is not going to be an option.
Terima kasih Tuan Yang Pertua. Bagi pengundi di negeri Sabah dan juga Sarawak yang berstatin di Semenanjung Malaysia, SPR menggalakkan pengundi untuk memohon pertukaran bahagian pilihan raya berdasarkan tempat bermastautin terkini untuk kita memudahkan urusan pengundian. Dan setakat ini untuk Sabah dan Sarawak, kita tidak ada pun di dalam kategori sebagaimana yang telah saya sebut tadi. Dan kita hanya berdasarkan perkara itu saja, maksudnya tidak ada pengundian pun, tetapi digalakkan untuk menukar alamat pengundian berdasarkan tempat pengundian pemastautin terkini. Itu saja. Terima kasih, Yang Mohamad.
So that was Deputy Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Datuk Mas Ermiyati Samsudin, reiterating that postal voting is not allowed for East Malaysians who work in Peninsular Malaysia. Instead, they are encouraged to register to vote in the areas where they live or work.
We'd like to know, I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Whenever we talk about voting and the mechanism of voting, how available or how accessible it is for those of us who no longer live in our home states, for example, tends to be quite heated. Do you think Malaysians should be allowed to post their votes if they live or work outside the state of residence that is on their IC? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now, on to a moment that really caught quite a bit of media attention. That is Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim declaring his dissatisfaction with the pace of reform that follows the much-lauded MOU that was signed on September 13th by, between the federal government and opposition members. And he gave these comments in response to Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Mustafa Mohamad, bringing up the importance of political stability in reviving the economy and attracting foreign investors.
Yang Mohamad Menteri menyebut tentang MOU untuk kestabilan politik. Tapi saya nak beritahu, walaupun ada sedikit sepanjuan, kemajuan itu sangat lemah sehingga kan reform parlimen pun belum ada kejayaan apa-apa. Janji yang dibuat sudah lebih satu bulan dan tidak ada satu komitmen untuk melaksanakan selain dari war-warkan soal kestabilan politik. Beberapa langkah lain juga bertentangan dengan semangat demokrasi dan transparansi dan semangat untuk bekerjasama seperti mana yang disebut oleh Perdana Menteri. Jadi saya nak jelaskan di sini kepada Yang Menteri untuk membetulkan kenyataan dia bahawa kedah kemajuan meredakan suhu politik yang kami sokong pada peringkat awalnya. Tetapi saya nak nyatakan pada hari ini, kita tidak berpuas hati kerana lembap dan sengaja dilengahkan.
That was opposition leader Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim expressing his dissatisfaction, really. Actually, he said it outright, right? Tak puas hati. At the lack of progress on reforms that had been agreed upon in the, and I quote, historic MOU that was signed by Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri and four Pakatan Harapan coalition leaders.
As a refresher, some of those reforms include tabling the anti-party hopping bill, a law to limit the term of the Prime Minister to 10 years. There's also a variety of parliamentary reforms, including restructuring the parliamentary select committees to provide equal representation between the government and opposition.
Curious to know, I mean, do you think that these comments signal a fracture of sorts in the commitment to cooperation between the government and opposition? And in general, I mean, based on the stories that we've been seeing, do you think that enough cooperation has actually been happening? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So Anwar Ibrahim also brought up the motion that he submitted to discuss the details of the Pandora Papers leak. And he wanted to discuss in Parliament, particularly since several other countries have since pledged to initiate investigations.
Ini saya anggap mesti dibahas di sini. Kita tidak menghukum siapa yang disebut. Dia boleh bagi penjelasan. Tapi kalau ratus juta ringgit hidden accounts di offshore companies, dan kita tidak beri ruang kepada orang yang berkenaan ataupun kerajaan untuk membuat siasatan, negara ini akan lingkup. Negara-negara yang lebih bertanggungjawab mengumumkan. Dan saya minta Perdana Menteri yang nak jaga kestabilan politik, yang nak jaga transparansi atau ketelusan, yang mahu menjamin kemampanan ekonomi negara, bagaimana boleh kita diam bila ratusan bilion ringgit dibawa keluar tanpa peraturan dan cara haram dari negara kita? Kalau nak cakap soal MOU persefahaman, ini dia persefahaman. Persefahaman apa? Jaga negara ini jangan dirompak oleh pemimpin-pemimpin.
Dewan Rakyat Speaker Dato' Azhar Azlan Harun, however, rejected the motion that was submitted and said the matter wasn't urgent enough to warrant a discussion in Parliament.
Di dalam memutuskan sama ada untuk membenarkan atau tidak membenarkan usul tersebut, saya terpaksa membuat keputusan mengenai tiga elemen. Nombor satu, ianya berkepentingan awam. Nombor dua, ianya hendaklah disegerakan, urgent. Dan nombor tiga, ianya mengenai sesuatu perkara yang tertentu. Saya bersetuju dengan Yang Berhormat bahawa perkara itu ialah satu perkara yang tertentu, nombor satu. Nombor dua, ianya adalah perkara mengenai kepentingan awam. Saya setuju. Dan saya bersetuju sekali dengan Yang Berhormat bahawa perkara itu ialah perkara penting dan perlu disiasat. Tetapi masalahnya ialah saya mendapati bahawa ianya tidak perlu disegerakan. Nombor satu, perkara itu berterusan dan boleh dibangkitkan pada bila-bila masa sahaja, nombor satu. Nombor dua, ianya boleh dibangkitkan melalui prosedur-prosedur yang lain. Oleh itu, saya terpaksa menolak usul Yang Berhormat.
That was Azhar Harun, Dewan Rakyat Speaker. He repeatedly said that he understood the importance of the leak and suggested that the matter be brought up in other platforms, like a parliamentary select committee, where it could be debated in more detail with more time.
So, Kulim Bandar Baru MP Datuk Sri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail reminded the Speaker of previous occasions where potential financial misconducts were not allowed to be discussed.
Ketika 1MDB mula-mula diperkatakan, Port Dickson juga waktu itu Permatang Pau mula-mula membangkitkan dan speaker, bukan Datuk Speaker sekarang, menggunakan ruling yang sama. Lama sebelum 1MDB itu meletup dan terpalit imej buruk pada wajah negara, ada percubaan waktu itu Port Dickson, sekarang Port Dickson, dulu Permatang Pau, meminta supaya Parlimen memberi ruang membincangkan perkara itu. Cukuplah, kita ni kalau sudah tergantuk baru tengadah. Ketika kita tak memberi platform yang luas menggunakan parlimen untuk membincang perkara besar, elephant in the room, kita terlepas. Kemudian berlakulah tragedi seperti kita tahu tentang Wan Nabi. Sekarang terhidang pula satu lagi kasus besar. Jadi kita minta supaya peraturan ini ada tapi tidak statik. Ianya dinamik. Dia memerlukan wisdom yang dipertua untuk membuat ruling. Iaitu yang kita minta sebenarnya. Tak kiamat dunialah sebenarnya kalau hanya kerana memberikan ruang kemudian kita berbahas dan kerajaan menjawab. Itu adalah fungsi kepada kemuliaan institusi parlimen. Terima kasih.
That was Kulim Bandar Baru MP Datuk Sri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail giving quite an impassioned speech, I think, asking for the wisdom of the speaker in terms of the application of rules. But yeah, I mean, that began because there was a motion to debate the Pandora Papers in Parliament. Would you have liked to see that happen? Would you like to see the Pandora Papers debated in Parliament? Would it have made a difference? You can let us know. If you have thoughts also on any of the issues that we brought up today, including postal voting for those from Sabah and Sarawak who work or live in the peninsula. We also looked at the assurances from the religious minister that amendments to Sharia court laws will not apply to non-Muslims. How do you feel about any of these stories? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.